We're in a series, for those of you who haven't been here before, we're in a series called What Ends Wars? We see wars all over the place. Geopolitical wars, wars in families, wars in friendships, wars in businesses. And we wanted to explore, how do we dial that down? How do we end wars? It's easy to start them. How do you end them? Started off by saying, you know what, if you can beat the crap out of somebody, put them on the ground, put your boot on their neck and beat them, that doesn't end the war. That just starts the guerrilla war. Because the second they have some power, they will stab you in the back. Well, then we decide, well, what if we could play this scenario where we could lift each other's boats up? We're not doing that anymore where it's, you know, boot on the neck. It's Mexico. It's a bunch of people walking in and saying, wait, your boat's lower. How do we raise you up? Can you feel the difference even in the team members? You come home and you're looking around going, wait, why is that boat low? Why is that person struggling? We need to help there. We need to do something here. That's the peace that starts in war. Because it's no longer us against them. It's now going, hey, how do we both win? We looked at the wars inside of ourselves. The voice that says, you're not enough. You suck. You screwed this up. You are a screw up. It's a war. We learned you can't put your boot on the neck of that voice either. You can't. What you do is you put them in the back seat of the car of your life. You don't let them take the steering wheel. And when they're freaking out, you're like, okay, yeah, I hear you. But this is where we're going. Today I want to talk about one more piece of this puzzle. And it comes from a political event, but we don't talk about politics here. So I'm just going to bounce off that in a second. Anyone read the trans policies released by our government? Anyone have a certain moment of going? Now, what you feel about the trans community among us, that's your piece. Trans people are welcome here as they are, however they want to be. I reserve the right to now and again screw up your pronouns because I really suck at changing the pronouns in my head, so I'm sorry to all the trans people in our community. What I was interested in not so much was in Daniel Smith's piece. What I was interested in is the war it sparked in our world. I read through people's responses. This group saying to this group, you're mad. You could just feel it, like just amping up more and more. Now, again, we're trying to figure out, how do we end wars? So one of the things I'm watching for is, what starts a war? Because if you cannot start the war, that ends it. Pretty good, right? Anyone's had a fight with a partner, and they blow it up, and then 3 weeks later, you're still having the same fight? You're going, okay, that was a lot of energy. We finally got the war stopped, but geez, could there be an easier way to do this? And I think there's some insight into these wars we're starting all through our lives, and I don't even know we're conscious. Maybe you guys all. I wasn't conscious. It's like I was walking through my life with grenades, pulling the pin and just going like this, whoosh, boom, and then people are freaking out at me, and I'm like, what's your problem, you know? Sometimes it's a subtle little grenade, bink, into the bed next to me, whoosh. How do we not start the war? Daniel Smith, trans policies. Again, trans people are welcome here. I read a church. Again, I'm always interested in how the Christian church responds. And there's a church in our province. They had a long response, but I want to take one piece out, not to take the piss out of them, but to highlight what I think starts the wars. Because once we're conscious of what does it, we can stop it before it happens. But most of us are unconscious. this church, Christians. Now, you guys all know, as soon as I use the word Christian, that is a broad spectrum of meaning. Do they mean French church Christian? Do they mean Catholic Christian? Do they mean fundamentalist Christian? What do they mean? And then they use the word God, and I'm like, oh my goodness. It's going to take me half an hour to... Super being God? Like there's a being up in the sky that if you do the right things, they will do nice things for you? Is that what they mean by God? But here's why I say that. Can you throw up the quote for me? This is what they wrote in response. First, they said, first, Daniel Smith, thank you for bringing some, what they use the word common sense to the conversation. And then they said this. We have to know that our God, again, which God, but whatever, I'll let that go. Our God created this world and made human beings in his image to reflect and represent him well with our rational and moral capacities. Then they're quoting two different passages. Just so you know, those passages say, it's a creation poem. People were made in the image and likeness of God. What does image and likeness mean? Don't know. I'd like to say my hair is very godlike. They have chosen to use it rational and moral capacities. That's what. So again, they're already taking something and they're like, you have to know that this is what's going on. So I'm already having all kinds of problems. But again, we're going to get through this. We have to know that God created mankind in two genders, male and female. Yes, it says they created them male and female, but probably it means more like from the east to the west. The whole span of humanity. Poetic. There's probably third genders, maybe even a few more. The eunuch gender, I'm going to use the word gender, in ancient Near East. It was kind of like a group of people that functioned outside of the gender binary. So their statement here is getting, you know, again, I'm problematic, but I'm not going to bore you guys with these details. I'm just noting that I'm a little upset right now. To be a boy or girl, man or woman, is a gift from God. And we all need to embrace how God created us and live out his plan and purpose for his glory. Okay, so I'm squirming. Some of you might be going like, bang on, love it. The problem is not what they're saying in terms of the content. Well, actually, there is a problem there. But I'll let that go. You can tell I just can't let it go, huh? Jeez, Clausen, let it go. The problem is this. Can you hit the next slide for me? This is what I think their argument is. We know, blah, blah, blah. We know, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, you all need to. I'm going to say it this way. Can you throw up the next slide for me? It says, the pastor's kind of saying this way. Since I know, therefore I can do something. Tricky. When you say, I know, therefore, I know, and again, this is not my words, I'm quoting theirs, I know there's only two genders, therefore, if you sit outside the gender binary, if you're born one way and you express yourself in a different way, any of that shit, pardon my French, bad, because I know, therefore, you need to change. See how the argument goes? You can literally put it into anything, but what happens if you take the I know statement out of there? What if they say, can you throw up the next one? Because I can't remember how I worded these. I believe there are two genders, therefore you need to change. Can you see how the therefore feels a bit awkward in that sentence? As soon as I back off the I know, the therefore is kind of like, okay. Can you hit the next one for me? I wonder if there's only two genders, therefore you need to live this way. It's getting more and more ridiculous, isn't it? I got one more. Throw it up for me. Do you exist in the gender binary? Therefore, you must live in the gender binary. The therefore only works with the I know. And if you think you know, isn't it amazing what you can do with that? I know, therefore. I was talking to the executive director of the temple. Originally, this was the United Church. Then the Jewish community bought it, and we rent from the Jewish community. It's a cool story. One of the founding families, there's a woman here. She was a Christian, identified as a Christian. She was here touring the building with the executive director, Jewish. So walking him through, like, look at this place, like, seriously. There's like, see the hoop out there? Whole statue. They crane that sucker in. It's gorgeous in here. It's truly stunning. And as she's walking through with this Jewish executive director, she says to you, says, can you throw up the line for me? Did I put that one on there? But you people have a lot of money. Let's do a vote here. How many of you think that she has actually done the research to figure out the mean income of all the Jewish community versus everyone else? Anyone think that's happened? And let's just say she works for the city and she's actually the person who does that research. Let's just say that. Does that equate to easier fundraising? She's thrown out I know statements all over the place. And then she does the therefore. Therefore, it's easier for you guys. It was harder for us. We're the victims. We had to do with less. Really? Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly like to look at this in other people's lives. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe they said that. All those I know statements. I would never do that. So I'm going to share a little something with you. Almost every time, and even this we're going to check on, every time, I'm going to say it this way. Every time I come home after a message here and I tell a story about our family, the other day I told one about not inviting my wife's boys, so my stepsons, to Christmas dinner because they didn't like my Christmas dinner. You're out. So I come home and I say to my wife, hey, babe, what do you think of the message? And she'd be like, Okay, was the story I told similar to what you're remembering? And she's kind of like, you made it into a good story. What do you mean? I know that's what happened. I was there. I uninvited your boys because they suck at their Christmas choice meal choice. You're out. And then usually I say, well, what was your memory of this? Anyone ever start a conversation that says, you said, you did? There's an implicit I know in there, right? You said, therefore I'm mad at you. I know you did that, therefore you owe me, right? There's all these, I know my memory is accurate, therefore... How often has anyone had that go well? Anyone? Because usually that goes with, I know what you said. That's not what I said. No. I remember you were wearing the blue dress and the sun was shining in and the birds were chirping and your face was like this. Oh, I did not say that. I know statements tied to memory. It's tricky. I know our memories feel like us. I was reading through the Innocence Project. These are a bunch of lawyers who go in and try cases of people on death row. Somewhere between 130 and 150 cases of people who were going to be executed were, the people were released as innocent because of an eyewitness was wrong. The eyewitness was like, she did it. Meanwhile, we find out her DNA is like across the country at the exact same time. Our memories are not things that we know. Psychology teaches us that every time you recall a memory, you tweak it a little bit. Depending on how much emotion you have when the situation happened, you will remember different parts and not remember parts of it. You will shift order. You will do all kinds of stuff. So when you say, I know this is what you say, first, probably BS. Second, there might be some of this in there, probably some of it, but this isn't the whole story. So I know, therefore, is going to start a war on whether the memory is right. The war isn't even about the thing you're trying to fight about. Isn't that ridiculous? Someone whose feelings are hurt
and says, I know you said this. And the other person says, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Now they're fighting about the memory. What if, let's just ninja level here. What if you said this? First, you have to get over the fact that they're wrong. And then they said it that way, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe it. So let's pretend you can get past all that. You say, oh man, that sounds kind of brutal. Did that offend you? What did it mean when I said that to you? Then they say, well, you always, oh man, it sounds like I've been doing this for a while, haven't I? Yeah, you have. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I really love you. There's no, like, this isn't how I want us to interact. I'm sorry. I know, therefore, you know where that's going to go. Or I'm just going to let that go and be curious. Stan Tatkin, who works on how relationships impact us physically, says this. When you have a memory, first, don't fight about it. Second, be curious, not furious. I did not say that. Was Husaba, when it was that guy who calms himself by rubbing his earlobes? Calm. You're reacting to the I know statement. Because then it gets to a therefore, and you know, oh. What if you came as curious? You all can feel that, can't you? It's like, oh. I'm going to have to go apologize for a few things over the next little while. Where else do we use I know statements? Okay, there's memory. Yeah, totally. Anyone read that first line from that pastor? I know, therefore the trans community needs to fall in line and become fit into the gender binary. Anyone's thinking the word transphobic in their minds? Don't put up your hand. I know they're transphobic, therefore, what can I do? I can cancel them, I can protest them, I can ignore everything that they have to say. They could be a Rhodes Scholar and everything else, but have one view that doesn't align with mine. I can ignore it all. Labeling somebody is awesome. I know you're racist. I know you're narcissistic, therefore, I know you're overreacting. I know you're being selfish. Therefore, suddenly my labels are going, ooh. I hear one line from one person. I believe in freedom of religion. If this is their religion, I believe in freedom of religion. Even if I don't love what that religion entails, I believe in it. Again, I probably should with the job I do, huh? Can I label somebody off of one statement? No. I probably need to sit down with them for the next 3 weeks. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? The other day I was talking to somebody. So Bible stuff, yeah, I'm pretty well educated. Trans endocrinology medicine, I'm basically an idiot. So don't take anything I say seriously. But I've always been a real big fan of puberty blockers. The idea is a kid starts to go, wait a second, this gender expression that I have isn't working for me. Now, they're 14, and so we're going, probably a 14 shouldn't be allowed to make any decisions, including what they eat. And so what we do with puberty blockers is we stall the permanent transitions of puberty, their breasts, their Adam's apple, whatever, until they're old enough, and we go, you're now old enough to make life-changing decisions. I've always thought, that seems like a wicked policy. Lately, I've been asking people about puberty blockers. I say, hey, are you into puberty blockers? No, horrible. Oh. Now, the old Vince, before this message, would have said, transphobic. Sorry, what was that? Now what I do is this. Hey, what do you mean by puberty blockers? Well, it's cross-sex hormones. Oh, really? I actually think it's not that. I think it just delays puberty, so someone who's mature can make a good decision. Well, if that's what a puberty blocker is, that seems like a good idea. Yeah. Can you see how curiosity? I could go, oh, no, I know what you are. I know what you believe. That's old Vince. Well, actually, that's also current Vince. Magical Vince sometimes pulls this off well. Why do we do it? I'm going to even go a step further and make a sociological statement. Why does our society seem to push us towards this black and white thinking? I know. I think one of the problems is our brain actually, to say statements like I believe, takes a lot of energy. And our brains don't like to spend that kind of energy. That's why sometimes people come after the service and say to me, okay, Vince, but what's the answer? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What does it look like for you? And they're like, oh my goodness, I'm exhausted. Black and white, so much less energy. And yet, one YouTuber, her name's Philosophy, or she goes by the name PhilosophyTube. She said, I feel becomes I know, because it has more power. If you're not feeling heard, if you have a people in your life, when you say, I feel, and they go, no, you don't. They, instead of saying, okay, what do you feel? What's going on for you? So what we do is we just amplify a little bit. Oh, no. This is. Therefore. So let me ask, where are we using these I know statements? Is it labeling? Memories? Weird stuff that our families taught us was true but isn't true at all, but we think it's true because the outgroup, the Jews, are different from our group, which aren't Jews, maybe. Maybe you grew up in a Jewish community, I don't know. And so your brain is automatically going, oh, those people are different from us. And so you make up a bunch of statements, and instead of saying, I have no clue, you say, I know. You people have more money. It's easy for you. Poor us. Memories? Isn't that kind of annoying? If our memories aren't true, if they're not totally true, it's kind of annoying, isn't it? You can't sit on your high horse and tell somebody off and be like, I remember what happened. Can you see how this is all starting war, though? What does it look like? We take that mantra that Stan Takin said, be curious, not furious. What if we stopped the I knows? What if we just brought curiosity? What do you mean by that? How does that feel? I wonder what part of them is saying those statements. Is that fully who they are, or is that just a part of them? I wonder what that person feels when I say that statement. I had this great conversation about reincarnation just the last couple days. And at the end of the conversation, I was like, wow, that felt really good. Now, I didn't grow up with reincarnation as part of my tradition. When you're trying to wrestle through the injustices of the world, my tradition used heaven. Life sucks now, don't worry. Heaven will be better. And so when I had this conversation about reincarnation, I realized at the end, there was no war there. There was insight and beauty. Why? Because none of them used sentences like, I know this is true. It was like, hey, what do you do with this? How does it impact your heart? Could you imagine conversations between two religions that didn't start with the I know statement? I know what God looks like. I know what that God that looks like that thinks and cares about this situation. Like the number of I know statements are bizarre. therefore, you're wrong. What if it started with, this has always moved me? How does it hit you? What does it look like to just let go of the I know statements and interact with humans? I don't always know how to end wars. I know parts. But I'm going to say an I know statement. I know that I know statements often cause wars. I know that some relationships have broken up over I know statements. I know that some communities have gone to war over I know statements. And not all of it needed to happen. As you leave here today, be insanely skeptical when you can hear the I know in your mind. Be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Curious, not furious. Got it. Okay, why am I locked down on this? Am I not feeling heard? Is it just easier? Is this crap that my family taught me but no one actually knows? What would our world look like if we gave up the I know and started to ask the question, hey, what does that look like for you? As you leave here today, may we stop starting wars that we don't want anyways. Amen? Okay, have a great week, everyone. Jeff's back next week. He's going to deal with an even harder topic. You can't miss it.